The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
It's Friday, and it's the third Friday. That means it's Admiral Harry Cooper Friday. Are you there, sir?
I am indeed.
All right. We have some very unusual material tonight that Harry is going to present to the world for the first time, and it'll be something I'm not familiar with in any detail. I've looked it over, but it's quite a story, to put it mildly. And for those of you who don't know, Harry Cooper is one of the world's foremost historians, true historians, when we're talking about the last half of the last century up to today and how the world has changed so much. The interesting thing about World War II is the German government was officially writing about what was going to happen after the war and the decades following a German defeat, should that happen. And they nailed it. I have the magazine. It was called Signal. It was a full-color English language publication put out by the German government. And in it, various scholars and other authorities, economics and so forth, wrote about Europe and what was going to happen. They knew that Zionist fascist communism would take over, and that is exactly what has happened. And now we have a chance to look back through one of Harry's colleagues, who is no longer with us, and some of the remarkable materials that he put together over the years that he was, well, involved. And he was involved to the extent that he was in the bunker in Berlin in April. We'll leave it at that. So take it away, Admiral. This is going to be fun. Go to guests and pull up the link under Harry Cooper's name, and you will see the imagery we're going to be talking about. Go ahead.
Okay, this is, as you say, this is information that I got from one of our agents, we call Pizarro. He was a good friend, and he gave me this information many years ago and asked me not to release it for at least 25 years, and it's been 27 years, so I'm putting it into a book. Right now, this evening, I've only got about the first two or so chapters translated. We've got three members who are translating for us, and I've only got the first two or three chapters done. And a lot of the things we're going to cover tonight, I'm going to leave them as questions without firm answers, I guess. But it'll open your eyes, and it'll make you think. And Pizarro died, as you say, way too soon. He was a good friend, and he was a big guy, about 6'2", stocky, powerfully built, leg one day, and they went to the hospital, and everything was going well. I talked to him in the hospital, and all of a sudden, bang, he's dead. They said he had sepsis, and he just died. So, could be. Oh, I'm sorry to say, though, all his files went to his son,
mm-hmm.
who I knew from the time he was a little boy, and he's just a little peckerhead. So I, after his father died, I said, please make sure you safeguard all his files. And the son said, yes, they're safeguarded. He's probably about in his 30s now, I guess. So I asked him if I could still come to him for answers. Oh, geez. We had a very unpleasant conversation, and now we don't communicate anymore. And I got a feeling that whatever files are left over there with his son, nobody's going to see him anymore. It's like, you know, the dog in the manger, if you know that situation. It's like a dog.
What is wrong with the son?
I don't know. He was, when I met him, it was 1988, and I was in the car with Pizarro, and his wife was in the back seat behind Pizarro, and the son was just a little kid in the back seat behind me, and he kept pulling my hair, little bastard. And so then his mother spoiled him something fierce, and finally Pizarro got divorced, found out his wife was cheating on him with another woman, and so the son, oh man, he'd got to be more like 40 or 50 by now, I guess. His mother raised him, and he was spoiled. He couldn't do anything wrong, and so anything he wanted to do was okay, and so he was a little jerk. And Wolf, if you are listening, I don't take back anything I'm saying. Although
well, the
I doubt that Wolf's listening.
And yeah. It's too bad.
Yeah.
This is truly a treasure trove of information that
boy,
he
it is.
Is probably sitting on, unless he sold it off or something. Who knows? People do strange things. I don't know.
Yeah.
But we have what we have, and it is it's a knockout. So
yeah.
We will walk
and remember,
that
that's only the first couple of chapters we're going to talk about tonight. By the time next month's show rolls around, the whole book should have been translated, and it'll even be more exciting.
Very good. Good work. All right. So the material you have, do you want to say anything about how it came to be in your possession, just in a roundabout way? How long you've had it, et cetera? He said 25 years. It's 27 years. I get the idea.
Yeah, but, I got it in 1995.
Okay.
And, we can start out looking at photo number one. That tells you what's in this book, the Delta Files, which is the intel details from Germany's presence in South America. This whole particular file is all about the German influence in South America,
uh-huh.
before, during, and after World War II. Never been released before, and Shark Hunter members haven't even seen it before. So, we got it from SIEG agent. SIEG is SEIG, and it's short for Shark Hunters, Eagle Hunters Intelligence Group. So, Pizarro gave it to me. As a matter of fact, if you look at photo number two, this was so much fun. We met. Whenever I'd go over there, we'd meet in the spy corner, as I call it, the dark corner of the restaurant Il Casale, which I found out means the castle in Italy, in Italian.
Okay.
And we'd be way in the back corner there, and this photo two, shows where we would sit and meet, and I've circled the actual packet he gave me that has all his data in it. And
okay. The blue file, The blue file folder, which has got strings around it, I can see that. Yeah.
Right, and there was more that he gave me that evening, too, including the exact location of Hitler's tomb, but that's not a conversation for tonight. But this was fun. He and I would sit back there, and if somebody came and sat near us, we would talk about other things, and then if they'd leave, then we'd get back to talking about the information that he's dug up for me. He formed an outfit called the Delta Research Group, and it was German researchers, and they were able to dig into a lot of stuff. Pizarro's father served in the U-boats, and he was killed when U-880 went down. So he's hardcore for his history.
Mm-hmm. Understood. Where was this restaurant again?
In a little town called Schweig, which is right outside the Munich airport.
Okay.
It's about 8 minutes by shuttle bus.
Looks like a rather humble place.
It's nice. It's nice. And the gal who owns it, I haven't seen her in a few years because, you know, mm-hmm. with the Kung Flu virus, but she is a knockout. She's Italian and mm-hmm. just drop-dead gorgeous. She always has a big hug for me when we get over there.
Very good. All right. You're calling this the Delta Files?
Right, because that was the Delta Group that mm-hmm. Pizarro had founded, the Delta Research Group.
Got it. Okay. And if we look at image number 3...
Right.
You can translate that if you want.
Yeah, it's partly translated anyhow, the top line, Vertrauisch, whatever, it means most secret. Next line down is confidential classified information. Next one mm-hmm. below that, mm-hmm. strictly confidential documentation ways to South America. And below that, secret information of the Reich minister's affair. And then below that, secret command matter, information only for the chief, the commander of the group. And below that, the bottom little line is secret command information. My apologies if I have a bit of a nasal twang. We've had so much rain here, and there's so much oak pollen in the air.
No, you sound
my sinuses
fine.
feel like footballs.
No, you don't sound bad at all. No problem.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so this is the front cover of what was in that blue folder, basically?
Yes. Yes, that's right. And sure. It's in red. I think that's got to tell you something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it comes under, let's see, it's a secret. This is inside the next page or two inside that's not up there on photos. This is a secret item within the meeting of Section 88 of the Reich Penal Law. An abuse will be punished under the provisions of these laws and other penal provisions. Below that, item one, this is a state secret. Number two, passing on only sealed in the case of postal transport as registered. And number three, storage is under the responsibility of the recipient to be securely locked. Then there are sections. The white sheets are the report, and then you won't see the colored sheets, but that's what I have here. The green sheets are the unknown places called unbekannt Plätze, U-Plätze, unknown places in the Tierra del Fuego. And it also has U-Plätze around the world. These are hidden harbors where you can put a boat, a ship, whatever, in a very remote area, no dock, no work, no nothing, just a place to hide. And this was first put together by then Oberleutnant der See Wilhelm Canaris, who was on board the German cruiser Dresden during the 1915 Battle of the Falklands, when a British cruiser squadron tangled with a German cruiser squadron. All the German ships except for the Dresden were sunk, and the British took a terrible beating too, but the Dresden was one knot faster than the British ships and got away. And as they went through the Magellan Straits, they found all these little hidden harbors, and you'll see a couple pictures further on in tonight. Uh-huh. Of charts where, in typical German precision, Canaris would log in the latitude, longitude of the entrance of each hidden harbor. It would indicate where you had to be to get into the harbor, what direction you had to steer, and then once you got in, we've got the forms here, the actual layouts and diagrams. It shows how deep the water is, what kind of bottom it is, so the anchor would hold, how tall the trees are, how far away was any civilization, so they could stay hidden. And there was even a movie done about this starring John Wayne before the U.S. got into the war, I think. This was after the U.S. was in the war. They made the film. It was 1955. But it portrayed a period before the U.S. was in the war. He was, I think, Captain Ehrlich was his name in the movie, and they had a cargo ship. They were trying to get back to Germany. And when the war started, there were hundreds of German ships. That's another book we're doing on the blockade runners. And hundreds of German ships trying to get back to Germany. Most of them were sunk by their own crews when they were attacked by the British Navy. But he goes into, in that movie, it goes into a hidden harbor that
John Wayne playing a German ship captain,
yep,
trying to get back to Germany,
yep,
after the war had started. Or was,
yep,
just about to start. That's it. That what's,
yeah, the war was
movie?
Already going, according to this,
yeah,
movie. England and Germany. It was only a British-German war at this point in time.
Right. I've never
it's
heard
called
of this
the
film
sea
before.
Chase. Yeah, it's called
heard.
The Sea Chase.
Yeah.
I remember seeing it when I was a kid. I'm sorry, a teenager. 1955. I wasn't a kid. I was a teenager. Who the heck? Lauren Bacall, I think, was the female lead in it. And, of course, you had to have the hardcore Nazi on board who was, you know, a lot of well-known...
So John Wayne didn't exactly have a heavy German accent, so I don't know how he'd pull this off, but...
Didn't have much of a German accent in the movie either, but there were well-known people who got famous later. Claude Akins was in it, and...
Yeah.
James Arness,
mm-hmm,
he was in it, because Arness and John Wayne were buddies, I guess, back in the 50s, so whenever John Wayne got a starring role, if he could fit in Arness, he did. So
James Arness was in the 1951 movie called The Thing. He played The Thing. He starred in that film.
Oh, I didn't know he was in that. I remember the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was... Yeah, that's way back when I was still a teenager.
Let me, you were always a teenager, you still are. Hold on, let me find this.
My birthday is 2 weeks from today, incidentally.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Early. We won't be able to, well, I'll talk to you, but let's see. So, that's September the 2nd?
Yeah.
All right. Now I've written it down. Okay. Very good. So
then the next batch, the orange sheets, covers high jump. Oh, Lordy, high jump. How many people want to see about high jump?
Well, this whole Operation High Jump thing, there was a Russian documentary made about it, I don't know when, within the last 10 years. And it had some real funky, obviously fake video of what looked like flying objects going over American Navy ships. They also had some inappropriate video from another theater of the war. But whatever. And it was a Russian film. But there may have been some real interesting material in that film. I didn't see the whole thing, just little clips.
Yeah.
Now, you're talking about colors. You're describing things that we don't have a picture of.
Right,
so
I'm
you
talking
know.
About the yeah. sections of the report, and right
in the
now,
blue folder. Yeah,
and all I'm into right now so far is the white sheets, which is the report. But later on, the green sheets is the unknown places in Tierra del Fuego harbors, yeah. and then the orange sheets are going to be about High Jump. The yellow sheets about German agents' trips, and we've got maps. Photos, etc. None of that stuff will be covered tonight because I haven't got it open yet. I haven't got them translated, but tonight we go into the first part about the report.
Now, hold on.
Yes, sir.
High Jump.
High Jump.
Pizarro was in a position to know a lot. And I am very curious to find out what you learn from the green pages.
Yeah,
well,
the orange sheets, orange pages are High Jump.
Orange pages.
There is so much down there that's been hidden. And one of our members was Admiral Byrd's adjutant, but he died a long time ago.
Uh-huh.
So we didn't learn anything from him. Another one of our members who dropped out, and he refuses to talk to me about High Jump, he was... chief petty officer on board the submarine that was down there, the USS Senate. And you got to wonder, why do you need a submarine if you're just down there to make maps, which is what High Jump was all about. It was a cartography
sure thing
deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they needed an aircraft carrier and all that stuff to make maps.
That was the biggest military fleet put together since World War II.
Right.
And they put our top admiral, Byrd, in charge of it. There were actually three admirals, I believe, in charge of the whole operation, but Byrd was the ranking member.
There's so much down there. I read what Byrd put in his diary, and it sounds like science fiction, but it was his diary, so I don't know. And then he gave his information to Secretary of the Navy Forrestal. And he wound up jumping out the window at Bethesda Naval Hospital.
With the help of two or three people.
I didn't want to say that. But, yeah, he committed
suicide.
Our
first Secretary of Defense was murdered after being forced into Bethesda Naval Hospital, and they threw him out the window.
Yep.
As I've said forever on this program, they kill people anytime they want. All the time. If somebody gets in the way, they're dead.
Yeah, they expedite them. That's the term that's used. You're expedited.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, James Arness was the star in The Thing.
Okay.
Movie. Yeah, 1951. I was right. Interesting.
Okay, yeah. I remember that movie. It was one of them grade B.
It was a B.
Thing.
It was a B, kind of a low-budget B movie about...
Right.
They were all trapped in a, wasn't it an Antarctic or an Arctic? They were trapped in some kind of a, it was very cold where they were, if I can vaguely remember, anyway.
Yeah, I don't remember much about that film. Like I say, there were so many of those low-budget films, The Thing, Them, It, The Blob.
All those 1950s sci-fi movies were... A lot of them were full of information that they were disseminating to the public in a very veiled way. But they were very interesting. They didn't just happen. A lot of them were very prescient, and a lot of them were very expository in their data. They were. Remember the one? the little kid, and he had a telescope, and he'd watch people, and they'd go up for a walk on this pathway, and they'd fall into the ground and disappear. I think it was Invaders from Mars. That's what it was called. Anyway, there were some really interesting ones. Yeah, that was a good one.
Most of those movies I saw in the old drive-in theaters. And I always had a girlfriend with me, so I really don't remember too much of the movie.
Oh, you bad boy.
That was a million years ago, before I ever met my wife.
I got it. Okay. All right. Let's take a little short break here. We'll come right back and carry on with our photo tour of hidden history revealed. We'll be right back. Hang on. Okay, welcome back with Admiral Cooper, yours truly. We're talking about a remarkable pass off of information from Agent Pizarro to Harry at a restaurant in Germany. And if you look at picture number 2 in the gallery, you'll see the documents, part of the documents he was given. It was in a blue folder tied off with strings, and we're going through some of that now. There's a lot to go through, and there's a whole section, as you've been hearing, about high jump. And I am amazed that you have such a document. Not surprised, amazed. Because you deserve it, and we have it. So we're going to find out. And if Pizarro says something happened, and I've been around you long enough, Pizarro didn't make mistakes. He never said anything that I've heard that didn't turn out to be true.
Right. He was very thorough. Typical German. Typical German. Everything had to be exactly right. And if he said something was so, then it wasn't theory, it wasn't speculation, it was fact.
Well, there we go.
Yeah.
Okay. Picture number 4.
Picture number 4, which I've got listed as number 3. You just can't trust people like me to do anything complicated like put numbers on pictures.
It's okay. Right.
This is our best-selling book, Hitler in Argentina. It can be ordered through Shark Hunters. Just go to our website, sharkhunters.com, and go to shop, go to books, and it's there. This is the one that proves absolutely Hitler did not commit suicide in the bunker. Eva Braun also left. They went down to Argentina. Actually, they went to Uruguay, then to Argentina, et cetera, et cetera. So a lot of the information on there, well, almost the entire book, came from another agent by the name of Don Angel Alcazar de Velasco, and Pizarro confirmed a lot of the stuff that was in there. And one of the things that puts the key in the lock and opens the door, there was a secret meeting in the Hotel Maison Rouge in Strasbourg on the 10th of August, 1944. This meeting was it comprised of German heads of German manufacturing companies, mm-hmm. and they were aware that the Third Reich was going to lose the war, and they wanted to transfer the wealth. I'm picking my words carefully here so I don't say something incorrect.
Take your time. Take your time.
They wanted to make sure that the German manufacturing capabilities were maintained, and also the finances, the money behind it. I'm trying to find the exact paragraph in the first couple of chapters. Well, now I haven't found it yet, but anyhow.
By the way, if you haven't been able to get this book, don't wait. If you really want to know what's going on today, look to the past. It's all right there.
Yeah.
So much.
Oh, absolutely. No kidding. It lays it between this book, Hitler in Argentina, and the book by George Orwell, 1984. It's happening.
Yeah.
So anyhow, these people in the meeting at the Hotel Maison Rouge in 1944, August, the war only had about another 4-7 months to go, I guess, 8 months, something like that, because it ended in on the 8th of May, 1945. Incidentally, Germany never surrendered. The generals surrendered the German military to the Allies, but the German government, which was Hitler and his people, they never surrendered. So they're still up in the air.
We're still dealing with that today in a very real sense. There was no surrender.
Right.
So aspects of that war have not been resolved.
Oh, yeah. It goes far deeper than we're going to talk about tonight. But
right.
Let's see. What's our next picture up here? Oh, come on. Click. Incidentally, your guy, Norberto, does a bang-up job with this stuff.
Yes, he does.
Okay, here now, there was stories that Pizarro tracked down about German bases, facilities. Mm-hmm. I don't mean huge, big bases like, you know, the bunkers in Lorient, nothing like that, but places where German agents were still based, and they found one that was still operating up until, at least until 1952. The war ended in 1945. They've tracked down this one. That's, what's our next photo number? Yeah, there we go. Photo number 5. I guess right on that number. that's the picture of it. And it's in December, probably 1952. And you can see it's bright and springy and summertime there in December. Down there at the bottom of South America, December is summertime. And this is the last known base of the German military in 1952. We found more of them after 1952, but that's not covered yet in these documents.
Mm-hmm.
Then you click on up to number 6, and it shows you right smack where that base was located. And this came from Pizarro, and you can see the brown checkerboard fabric behind this map.
That tablecloth.
That's the seat cushions.
Seat cushion.
Yeah, restaurant Il Casale.
Could have been a tablecloth. Look at that map. Look at all of those inlets and nooks and crannies and places to hang out where no one will bother you.
Exactly. That whole area down there is just loaded with all sorts of little inlets and coves and bays. And all that handwriting down at the lower left corner, that's all Pizarro's.
Uh-huh.
And this guy never missed. He's the one that gave us the chart on where the big plane landed in Uruguay. And Martina and I went there, and by God, it was exactly like the chart that Pizarro gave me.
The big plane Harry's talking about is on the cover of his book, Hitler in Argentina, which is under the bestseller label. That remember, I got that plane put on the cover.
You helped with that cover.
Got that. And the little dot on the map, that red dot.
Yeah.
I said, we got to have a dot there.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
We got it done. It's just beautiful. And I had that picture of the two of them. This is remarkable. The whole thing came together perfectly with the house behind.
Yeah, well, you did a heck of a lot there. It was your friend David Dees who did the art, but you were a huge contributor. And incidentally, I don't know if you've noticed or not read into it, but the Southern Poverty Law Center, the spitlickers, the ones who said I'm a Nazi, and I'm calling them right now, they're liars because I've never been a Nazi. Another one of the reasons they put in there that I'm a Nazi is because I hired Dees to do the covers, and they said Dees was a Nazi. I don't know whether he was or not. I don't give a damn.
David Dees lived less than a mile from my house. I brought him here from Sweden indirectly. He stopped in, I think it was Virginia for a few months. And anyway, I brought him out here, found him a home. But he was my neighbor. Anyway, my friend. And no, he was not a Nazi. What he did do was in his artwork, though, he exposed a lot of the Spitlicker's great lies about Germany in World War II.
Yeah.
He did it with his art. He did it with the pictures, and he put text.
Oh, he was so clever with that stuff.
And he,
go ahead.
He was, I don't think I'm, he was threatened by, I'm not going to say which group, because I don't know which group, but one of those groups threatened him, maybe more than one, and this started when he was living in Sweden, and it followed him all the way out here to right over the hill from my place. We got him in there, and things started happening. He'd go to the store, and he'd come back. One time he came back, and all of his shoes were taken out of his bedroom, put in the living room, and had been built into the shape of a pyramid.
Oh, geez.
And I knew all this. He would tell me all this, and one thing happened to him that so frightened him that he stopped all of his artistic efforts to expose the lies that the certain groups were putting out about Germany during the war. And I think they threatened to kill him is what it was. And he wouldn't even want to go there. But he was murdered.
Well, they tried to clip you.
Yes. And they did kill David, no question.
Yeah, I remember.
He knew it. One of the last things he said to me was, "They gave it to me," meaning the cancer. And we had talked about it many times, but he was in and out of kind of coherence. And I said, "Yes, David, I know. We've talked about this a lot." And they tried to take both of us out. And a lot of work. A lot of fun telling the truth. You get real thrill about that, as you know better than anybody. When you can bring the truth out, it's a real strange feeling of job well done. And
And as you know, I do this. I don't get paid for it. Nobody in Shark Hunters gets any money at all. We're all volunteers. I do this 12 hours a day. I'm an old fart. 2 weeks from now is my birthday. I'll be 83. My wife keeps saying, "We ought to retire. We ought to." Well, no, I got too many more books to retire. Here in Florida, if you retire, you're supposed to play golf. I played golf once way back when I was in my 30s. I thought it was the biggest waste of a morning I ever put in. But at that time, I was a professional racing driver, and my idea of a good time was 180 miles an hour on a super speedway with 800 horsepower under my feet.
Sure.
And to hit the ball and walk, 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 hit the ball, walk, 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 that kind of paled by comparison. But what would I do if I retired? I would be dead within 6 months because the boredom would kill me. And I gave my word to all these U-boat guys and all the spooks I dealt with, the former intel people. I gave my word that if they told me their story, I'd publish it. You can't go back on your word. I still got another 20 or 30 books I got to do.
Of course. The last time I played golf, I hit the ball reasonably straight for once. It went up and over a little rise, and I went walking after it. Walk, 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 walk.
Yeah.
And I found the two dogs had run out onto the golf course, rather large dogs, and they had grabbed my golf ball and were chewing on it and throwing it back and forth, so to speak. And I took my club and I ran after them. I said, "Get out of here, get out of here." And the one with the ball dropped it and bit me in the leg.
Oh, jeez. I guess that's
what
they call a hazard on the golf course, huh?
That was a salivary hazard, and I was worried that he punctured me good. Anyway, that was my last golf game. So I understand what you're saying. Not to knock anybody who likes golf, but It takes a certain personality, I think, to get into it.
Right. And like I say, I have so many more books I have to write. And then, you know, once I'm 110 years old, then I'll retire.
That's fair enough.
That's what I told Herbert Werner, the guy who wrote Iron Coffins.
Right.
I told him that I'd hit 110 and then I'd retire.
Fair enough.
Actually, I said then I'd die at 110, so who knows?
Well, I think a lot of people are going to be gone long time before that 110 rolls around, so you got a lot of work to do. Your books and videos are the most unique treasury of real history, I think, available anywhere on the planet.
Thank you. I think
You're welcome.
And we're about to make all this stuff available to a lot of people, including our members. 300 videos that we've got, movies, et cetera, and so much more. Your listeners can just send me an email, sharkhunters@sharkhunters.com, and just say, hey, you heard it on Rents, and I'll send them information. And they'll love it. And this history, like you say, can't be found anywhere else. There are Johnny-come-lately internet websites for U-boat history. I don't see how they can put the word history in there, because none of them have ever met a U-boat skipper. None of them have ever met any U-boat guys. I'm coming up to my 40th year doing Shark Hunters, and I do it about 12 hours a day. As you know, I'm at my desk by 4 in the morning, and I'm going until about 8, 9 o'clock at night. None of these guys know what the hell they're talking about. They just spit out theories and fairy tales, and in some case, just out and out baloney.
Well, also, they take your work. Your work has been plagiarized ruthlessly for a long time.
Yeah, I know. Shades of Hunting Hitler, and I never even got a thank you, let alone.
No, of course not. No. Okay, let's hit one more picture here. Then we have to take our break, and we'll come back and roll through the rest. And it's number 7, I think.
7 and number 8, your listeners can
together.
Look at.
Yeah.
These are more of these hidden harbors, the Uplaitse. And there's zillions of them down there, it seems. And you'll notice up there in the upper of number 8, Shark Hunters Harry Cooper, Uplaitse, Unbekannt Plaza in Feuerland, you know, unknown places in Tierra del Fuego, and in some place on there. He's got Uplaitse circled all through there in the upper left corner, secret Feuerland, which means Tierra del Fuego, not print. But he said after 25 years I could print, so here we are.
Wow, what an interesting, fascinating person. He was in the bunker.
Yeah.
So how do you?
Not,
I mean,
not
how
Pizarro,
do you?
But Don Angel was. Yeah, he
Don
was
Angel,
in the bunker with Hitler.
Alcazar. How do you get to know people like this? That's the question.
Networking, and when they realize that I'm an honorable man, I tell the truth, and I publish history. Not blasting, raving Nazis like some of the baloney history things do, but honest history. Oh, well, here, let me introduce you to him. And it just networked, and I love it. I love dealing with those old Germans, too, because a handshake was a contract.
You got it. Not anymore. Not anymore.
Afraid not.
All right, well,
okay,
we have a,
you go on to what you're doing. I'll play a game of computer solitaire waiting for you to come back.
Yeah, well, we'll pause here for a few minutes, but there are a whole lot more pictures. Don't go ahead. Wait for us. We'll walk you through them. And
Roger, so many
wonderful things. And if you haven't gotten the book, Hitler in Argentina, that is the most important book for your library that you don't have, if you don't have it. So get it and read it and be amazed. Don Angel was in there. Harry knew these people. There's no other website that can hold it.
Don Angel met with him, with Hitler down in Argentina in 1952.
I remember that story, too.
Yep.
Okay, we will be right back with Admiral Cooper in just a moment as we continue our journey into top secret classified material that has finally been published. It's out, and it'll be a lot more coming after this. Stay tuned.